Good afternoon. So this morning I'm talking again about the development of bodhicitta. And in order to attain the exalted state of Buddhahood, one has to attain or generate the mind of bodhicitta. Without the mind of bodhicitta, it is not possible to become a Buddha. In order to generate bodhicitta, one needs the specific cause, and that is, or the primary cause, and that is the mind of great compassion. And we spoke then about the meditation practice that is required to generate great compassion. So our text is presenting the practice of exchanging self with others. And before one engages in that practice, one engages in the first three steps of the sevenfold cause and effect method, namely recognizing all sentient beings as having been our mothers. Secondly, recollecting the tremendous kindness that all sentient beings have shown us. And then thirdly, generating the very powerful wish to repay the kindness that sentient beings have shown us. And then when those realizations have come about, one is ready to engage in the practice of equalizing and exchanging self with others. So this meditation practice is something that we really need to try and do every single day so that one can develop a sustained practice. And from this, eventually it will lead to the attainment of the mind of bodhicitta. So this is what we looked at this morning, in particular this meditation practice. Now we come to a new outline, and that is taking problems onto the path, or transforming problems into the path. And so that's a new section that we're coming to now. The previous verse is described in the commentary, or in the outline of the commentary, as being the practice in meditative equipoise of exchanging self for others. So whilst this term meditative equipoise is used, and it is of course the meditation practice, it is not really an actual meditation equipoise, in that usually this term is used for the meditation on emptiness, whereas here it's the description, as we had this morning, of generating compassion and generating love, and then engaging the practice of taking and giving. So this here is in our commentary is called a meditative equipoise, and that's fine, but it's not what is really meant by a meditative equipoise.
Mm. kajik la sam tang go marwa jin sam sem pa mang bu re chi dine kap la ne jian yan chung san ne sam la gan ne stang go re se le ha sam la din stang go re din stang go re se ti ma di go shi ya le la
So that previous verse we looked at on equalizing, exchanging self with others. So the outline for that verse was a meditative equipoise. Now we come to the new section, so with our new practice, the 12th practice here, and this is under the outline of subsequent attainment. So the first one was for meditative equipoise, although we said it's not really a meditative equipoise. Now we come to subsequent attainment. So this term subsequent attainment means when one isn't in meditation, when one's out and about doing things. So, or another way to describe it, the period between meditation sessions. So when we're engaging in our regular activities. So that's the section we start now, and it's a larger section on subsequent attainment. The commentary now mentions the outlines of the 10 verses that come now, which fall under this outline of subsequent attainment. So I'll read them out to you. You have them there, I think, in the handout above each verse is the name of the outline. The translation that I'll use sometimes will differ from what you have there, because whilst the verse is the same, the commentary sometimes differs. But anyway, the meaning's always the same. So the first is gain and loss. The second is enemies, the third is abuse of speech, the fourth is criticism. So these are all problems that one encounters and how to transform them into the path. The fifth, betrayal and ingratitude. Sixth, derision. Seventh, suffering and decay. Eighth, wealth. Ninth, anger. And tenth, attachment. So these are similar to what you have there, and we'll be going over them, I guess, over a period of time.
The
first one of these 10, which is gain and loss. So here, gain refers to the possessions that we have, and then loss will refer to them being forcefully taken from us. So this is the first of the 10.
So
to this. So gain here refers to possessions that we have, and it doesn't necessarily in this context refer to all our possessions, but things that we actually value. So the possessions that have some meaning to us, and if we were separated from them, that we would be a bit upset about that. So it refers to possessions of some value to us. And so if someone comes and forcefully takes them from us and steals them and the like, if we have a means to get them back, then we should employ that means. For example, go to the police, or if we know who took it, speak to them, etc. So it doesn't mean we shouldn't do anything. If we have a means to retrieve what has been taken from us, we should engage in that. However, often we don't have a means to actually realistically get back what has been taken from us. So then what to do? Because we tend to find ourselves then in a position where we're very upset about what's happened. Our private space has been invaded, our things that we value have been taken, and now we no longer have them. And we tend then to be really upset about this and think about it a lot, and we'll have a particularly negative mind towards the person or people who did this. And we'll probably talk to our friends and say, oh, you won't believe what happened, and this was such an awful person, how could they do such a thing, etc. And from this, you can see how unhappy our mind is. And it's probably just going to grow and develop. We'll lose our appetite, we'll struggle to sleep at night. And depending on the severity of the situation and our lack of skill in dealing with it, then we could even become quite ill from all the mental anguish.
And
Nakinus read the verse. Even if someone out of strong desire steals all your wealth or has it stolen, dedicate to him your body, possessions, and your virtue, past, present, and future. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. So we've already started looking at these first two lines. Even if someone out of strong desire steals all your wealth or has it stolen. So this is quite clear. So if someone with great attachment steals from us, or they have an accomplice, someone under their direction. So in other words, if they directly or indirectly act against us in this way, then what result does this have for us? On one hand, we can have strong attachments arising within us, and that attachment will be for what has been stolen. We'll be missing what we have, and we'll be longing for what we had and what has been stolen from us. So our mind will have a very powerful attachment arising. And then accompanying this will be a mind of strong anger for the person who stole from us. And we'll be really quite annoyed with them. And so we'll have both of these minds, both of these powerful minds dominating us. And these will probably, could quite possibly stay dominant for a lengthy period of time, where this is all we think about, maybe what we talk about it a lot, and we're really quite upset about this. And Having these minds present, these minds of powerful attachments and powerful anger present for even a moment, of course creates negativity and plants a negative seed on our continuum. But here these powerful minds will stay present and dominant for really quite a period. Therefore, these negative karmic seeds that come from this powerful attachment and powerful anger will be powerful, and they will abide on our continuum, later ripening into great suffering.
If
a bodhisattva were to have her valued possession stolen, then how would she respond to this? Would she respond in the way that we do, where we get really angry at the thief and have this mind of longing desire for what had been stolen, and worry about it and talk about it to the extent that her sleep is affected and that her appetite is lost, etc.? Now, of course, a bodhisattva would not respond in this way. And how would a bodhisattva respond? Well, that's explained in the second half of the verse. Dedicate to him your body, possessions, and your virtue, past, present, and future. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. So here we can see how very differently a bodhisattva responds as compared to ordinary beings such as ourselves. Rather, what they would do is they would mentally let go of their possession, and they would mentally offer that possession to the other person and rejoice that now this other person has attained the goods of their desire. So they'd let go of this object and would no longer consider it theirs. And the benefit that immediately comes from this for them is they have no problem from attachment anymore. Their attachment for the goods, is for their possessions, just isn't present in her mind. Rather, she's given it away to the other person and rejoiced that the other person has this now. And then furthermore, knowing that this person has, of course, engaged in negativity, the bodhisattva then would dedicate her merit to this to the thief, with a strong aspiration that the thief attains physical and mental happiness and well-being, and moreover comes to meet the Dharma and engage with the Dharma and have a positive mind towards the Dharma, or an open mind towards the Dharma, and engage wholeheartedly in Dharma practice, generates paths within their continuum, and progress as quickly as possible to the final state of enlightenment. So this is how a bodhisattva would respond, and that's quite different from ourselves. When a bodhisattva has, as in this instance here, encountered some harm, such as having her possession stolen, then through responding in the way that we've heard here, actually she's not going to encounter any mental suffering at all, but rather mental and physical happiness. And this is because she's offering the goods now mentally to the person who took them, and dedicating her virtue to the welfare of the suffering sentient being. And therefore, she herself experiences only happiness despite this loss. And in addition to experiencing happiness, she's generating a tremendous amount of virtue through her making these aspirational prayers and dedication of merit for the welfare of others. So her outcome is one of mental and physical happiness and the generation of a tremendous amount of virtue. So this is a very different response and a very wise response. And this is an illustration of how adverse conditions are taken into the path or transformed into the path. What we've heard here then is how bodhisattvas respond in these situations, and this is a practice of bodhisattvas. And them being our role models, then we too should train in responding in a similar way. And how then should we proceed when we encounter something like this? So when someone steals from us, although the word Geshe is using, it's more like rob, so it has this violent connotation. But you say we are robbed, maybe, anyway, we have things stolen from us, maybe aggressively taken from us. Then how should we respond? Well, the first thing we should do is guard our mind from anger, because becoming angry in such a situation is the most likely response, or the most common response. So we should firstly guard our mind against anger. And then secondly, whatever legal means we have at our disposal, we should employ those. Go to the police or try some other legal means to retrieve our goods which were taken from us. But if this is not possible, or if nothing comes from that, then we need to continue guarding our mind, especially against anger. Because if we have anger dominance in our minds, of course, we're just going to become unhappy. We're going to struggle to sleep. We're going to lose our appetite. We're going to complain to everyone we meet and everyone who will listen to us. From this, only unhappiness comes. And not only are we physically and mentally suffering, but we are accumulating negative karma through thinking in this way, through speaking in this way, etc. So it's only a negative result for us. So therefore, the first thing to do is guard ourselves from anger, guard ourselves against anger, try whatever legal means we have at our disposal, but keep watching our mind against the arousal of anger.
Dene semte de yung duwa nga zuge nga guwa la chi yung guwa dene kashi mi kashi dene ge cha la dene semte de guwa de ge pha xin da do di wa da ni sin so so ma su ya so so go lu su ya da dene ji duwa se san de yong ga la yong ni za cha yu ba ji so so lu su ya da go da ni yong lu wa de cha la la ji ga la sam yong ji sam da da ma ji bi jin ye ne nga zu yong che go ba de
dene ge di sa ba ko na mi chi ge nge ka la cha ma ye cha la a chok na dene ye kong da nam le chok pa kyap na
ne nga kyo ale so so cha la ku ma ye a ne cha la la sam pe sa sam
ale ale
ko da ya di yong wa di so so yong lu wa cha la la be sa le ko na ya da da yong ra go wa yong ga la yong ni za he
A particularly unskillful way to respond is, as Geshe was displaying there, if you lose your valued possessions, then to physically take out your frustration on yourself by pulling out your hair or beating your head, banging your head, this really is very stupid. From this, only suffering and harm comes.
ยาละพายาจิโลคนจินยาจิโหรวะเดยายาดิคนชูซานะจิกยาดิละเจสกามะซุซุกิตะเลฮุกุซะตะรุชูนะตะลยาติยูโกเลเชดตะลยาซะคนเดยาละคนละซาเดชูเยตะลชูโกเดคนละซะซะดิปิดีนาจิงาติยงกุโตวะดิเพนเนโกมะซอเปยาจินาตะจิยอเดอะเลเลเลเลเจซานคนละเซเดยาดิละคนละซะโกเดชูเยตะตะดิลชูโกเดละเดเปเรดิตอนดาละคาละวอซะ
มันจะชิโลดีวาดิเลขาจะโชมีนิมตุทุกปุราจะมาจิกว่าชิชาโรชาละคงซาเนนานเลเนคาริเกซุซุปูลยาทอดัมตายาดาเนดาตายาดาเจมินิมตุจาริจาดาดินิกินซุซุนาเมซุซุกิจอเซติลยาอะดิยาปะจิงนัมจูเตยาดากะซินะดิคงซาเดซุซุปูดังซุซุกิจาดาดิกิซุซุลคงลาจูมาเรเดเซนดานยุนมาจิกว่าจะคงลาเนอันดิกิเจนจินะเมนิซูเลดิ Okay, I didn't get all of that. There's some Tibetan idiom that is appropriate here about a yak and a tiger, but I really don't know. okay, so, but then Genla said, and similar to that, and then he spoke about our situation, so that I got. So, yeah, when something terrible happens to us, such as here, when one is say, mugged and your valuable goods are stolen from you, then one goes home and one's upset, one's mind is dominated by attachment for what has been stolen and by anger for this person who did this. And one goes home, and what you do, you take out your bad mood on your loved ones. You give your partner a bad time, you maybe hit your children, etc. And they've done nothing wrong. They haven't done anything to cause this abuse that is now being heaped upon them. You're just upset by what has happened outside. So this is something to guard ourselves against, because this is showing how by not being skillful with our mind, we end up harming others.
Corona, Mikama, Chico, Guru, Colia, ကိုကိုဟာရစစကောလကံအထီကောရခွဒင်းစကူပါရစကောခါရောမာရစစံကနကူပါရရဘူးသူရှာစတာခွဒေရောချေလနနဲ့ငါဂျေရောချေလနဲ့ငေဒီမာရဝါစတာဂျေမာရဝါစငေဂျေမာရစတာခွကူချေပါတဲ့အဝချင်းစတာတောင်းနဲ့ခေါ်ရခေါ်ရောဝချင်းခေါ်ရောကူဒခေါ်ရောထောပါတဲ့ပဲရောကိုရဒါခေါ်ရောဒီဖန်တို့ချင်းဖို့ကြောင့်ရှိုးစင်ပြေစံလတာစံတာဒီနေ
ကိစ္စတောင်မတူဝင်နေအောင်ဆိုခုတူတည်းလဲစမလားအော်ဒါခေါ်လို့ကူကူရခေါ်ကြီးချင်မရှိချာတယ်ရဲခေါ်ပေးရဖို့တယ်တခေါ်ငါကြေရောချေလမလုံးနိုင်ငေတူမာတယ်စင်နာချင်းတူမာတယ်ဒီလိုခေါ်ချေပဲရောက်ကြတာဒါခေါ်ရောပြပါချက်ဆောင်တဲ့လွေကြီးလွေတန်းကြီးကဂျင်ဘိုင်းဒါစင်ခေါ်ဟန်ဂျင်ဘတန်ကြီးရဲခေါ်ရောချင်ပေးရခေါ်ရောဖန်တို့ချင်ဖို့တဲ့ဘေးချေချင်မရောက်ရောရှိုးအစမီစမလို့ရှိဒီတောင်
Madi, and you make your same major young Guinea. Digana ya, and Jason Bigel Nawana, oh, that didn't pay our worship. Digana ya, dang any good condition, Coron Yaman and Kawasa should be given to you with your cat in a coronal in your show. That didn't get coronal, JB, the corona, she simply and Tom Jillia, you lose your shot, thank you, and give us some consul in Barshaw or some time. Dinish, And Sanji will want to you, child. Did Lamcher said, Ya child, who is? Just a dinner some tongue, who is?
We've heard now about the great fault or the great fault that can follow from us not guarding our mind against anger. So we had this now just previously, that if we don't guard our mind against anger, we can take out our frustration on people who did nothing to deserve this. So that's then following that, what do we also need to do? How should we also respond in these situations? Then now we've guarding our mind against anger, we've tried whatever legal means there are, and they haven't been successful. So now we can rather than turn our mind to the robber who stole from us, and think about the situation that they find themselves in, that their mind is dominated by afflictions such as attachment and ignorance and the like, and possibly anger and violence, and therefore they engage in such a negative act. And they not only engage in a negative act like this, but they will one day have to experience the karmic results of what they've done now. So thinking like that, then compassion should arise for us, because that should arise in us. Because that being, this robber, is their mind is particularly afflicted. So their mind is pervaded by suffering right now. And then furthermore, they're creating the causes for further suffering in the future. So thinking like that, compassion arises within us. And this then should lead us to wholeheartedly wanting them to have happiness. And how to give how for them to have happiness? Well, the easiest thing to do is to mentally offer them what they have now taken from us. Of course, physically we can't offer it, it's too late, but we can mentally offer it to them. And moreover, we can rejoice that they have this, and we can make the prayer and the aspiration that whatever goods they've stolen from us, may it be very, very may be of great benefit to them, may they put it to great use, and may they derive happiness from these items they've now stolen from us. So thinking this way, we can have no attachment present in our mind, because rather we've given away the object of attachment. Furthermore, we're not angry at the thief at all. Rather, we have compassion for them, and we're thinking about how they may have happiness in their life. So rather, our mind now is filled with wholesome minds and is devoid of attachment and anger. And then furthermore, knowing how this sentient being has now accumulated the causes for further suffering through engaging in this negative act, we dedicate the virtue that we have accumulated and we offer that virtue to them so that they can meet the Dharma and be open to the Dharma and engage in the Dharma paths. And we dedicate this virtue not just to them, but to all sentient beings who have acted in this way, and to all sentient beings who are still suffering. And we dedicate our virtue to them. So engaging in this way, our mind becomes happy, we don't suffer any mental or physical suffering at all, and we are accumulating virtue, and this virtue becomes a cause for the attainment of enlightenment. So this is the skillful way that a bodhisattva takes suffering, and in this case the suffering of gain and loss, and transforms it into the path. Thinking in this way is really quite remarkable, it's quite amazing. And if we do think in this way when you meet these the problems and difficulties that we always encounter, then through not responding in a way that's dominated by afflictive minds such as attachment and anger, we are not going to create negative karma when we meet problems. And rather, we are going to accumulate virtue, positive karma, through responding in a positive way. And this is a very beneficial way to respond, in that in the moment, instead of being unhappy, we will be happy, and we, instead of accumulating causes for future suffering, we accumulate the seeds for enlightenment. What we're hearing about here in this verse, and from here onwards, we're talking about the practice of mind training. So this practice of mind training, if we have engaged in this, then when we encounter problems, we will naturally respond in a skillful way like this. So the way we should utilize utilize the advice that is given here is that we shouldn't just leave it at hearing it in the classroom, but this we should take home and should be an object of meditation. So we should take this as a practice, the practice of mind training, and meditate on the kinds of problems we know we are likely to encounter. And we go through in the meditation, we think about, okay, so I'm likely to encounter a particular situation like this. So when I encounter it, how do I usually respond in such a situation? Is that skillful? Is that the response that a bodhisattva would employ? And if not, how would a bodhisattva respond? And then think through this and see how would be a skillful way to respond when encountering such a problem. And then repeat this meditation again and again so that this mental habit is formed, this mental pathway is formed. Because then when one does meet that particular difficulty, one will have these seeds there ready, and now they've met the ripening condition, one will then be able to respond in a skillful manner, respond in a way similar to a bodhisattva, respond in a way that leads to the mind staying calm and peaceful, and to the accumulation of virtue. then we'll start to break this habit of responding in the habitual way when things don't go as we wish, attachment arising, anger arising, getting annoyed and frustrated. Those kind of habits will slowly start to diminish, and rather we will start to develop, we'll start to respond in a skillful way. So this will come about if we take this as an object of meditation and repeatedly meditate on the likely problems and difficulties that we will encounter and how we should respond skillfully to them. And in this way we'll create new habits. I personally have had the great fortune of hearing teachings on the subject of mind training several times, as well as reading text on them. And I had an opportunity to put this into practice recently, because it's not something that I necessarily meditate on or I have any experience of, but I had the opportunity to put this into practice a few months ago when I was in India. When we were in Bodh Gaya and attending His Holiness's teachings, we were staying in tents, and we of course aren't allowed anymore these days. One isn't allowed to take mobile phones into the teachings. One has to leave them in your hotel, and our hotel was a tent, so my phone was left there. And one evening I returned from the teachings, and my phone had been stolen. So then I had the opportunity to put into practice these teachings, and the response just naturally arose in me that I didn't have the opportunity to fulfill this person's wish. They rather took what they wanted, so I didn't have the opportunity to give it to them. But now they have it. I hope this is something that they find very beneficial and something that helps give their life some meaning. And I offered it to them mentally, and I dedicated that from this, that them now having my former possession, that some benefit would come to them. So here I inadvertently got an opportunity to practice in this way, and so I can say from my own experience that the practices of mind training that are described here are greatly beneficial.
Yawma
소설이 되어 거봐 나신 파셔 미디기래 오늘 저거 거보니 뭐 그거래 나 그거 찍바래 나 지금 콜이야지 빼 약골에 다 코로나도 거보체 코로나가 전부 휴지원에 약골에 선배 삼는 당하셔면 뭐 제가 딩이디 네 저거도 코로나야 되게 있으베 되게 삼다에나 강아 주주 차다 되게 다 강아 되게 가래 태어도 망무지리야 아 저기 삼로디 배셔 떠나려 아니 인경에 남도 교수사데 니 팬비게 다 대위 규조야 다 개위 쪽서 줘야게 삼다다데 망무지를 당쳐서 당쳐서라
This verse then it describes transforming gain and loss into the path. So as we've heard from this description, it's very much related to being having our valued possessions physically taken from us, or being robbed and the like. However, don't leave the understanding of this practice just at that level, but rather expand it to what is more appropriate to our lives, because we don't tend to get robbed or mugged very often. So to give another illustration, if one works in an office environment and one's working on a particular project and you put a lot of time and energy and it's going well, and your boss comes along and says, "Well, this is quite impressive," and takes your project and presents it to her superiors and says, "This is what I've done," and therefore takes all the credit for the hard work that you did, then this is your opportunity to give that to them and to offer the praise and the glory that they now have taken from you. And so in this way, you can take this training, this example here of mind training, and use it in other situations as well, not just in what is referred to here in this text. Because if we do this, then in that moment, our mind remains happy and peaceful, and we accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue, and this virtue in particular is seeds for enlightenment, and this is very valuable and precious. And furthermore, we can also think about this person who's taken something from us, something of value from us. Now, possibly from a previous life we have a close connection with them, or maybe we don't have much of a connection with them. But now, certainly, we have created a connection with them. And now we make the prayer that through this connection that we have with them, may we develop a close and a virtuous or a wholesome relationship with them, and may we progress together towards enlightenment. So we have a connection now with this person, either from the past or certainly one established now. So let's make the prayer that this connection then turns out to be beneficial in the future. Okay, so then the text presents a quotation from the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. Shouldn't one engage for the sake of protecting those who have fallen into the lower realms? One shouldn't be bound by the personal gain and esteem of striving for one's own liberation. So I'll read it again. Shouldn't one engage for the sake of protecting those who have fallen into the lower realms? One shouldn't be bound by the personal gain and esteem of striving for one's own liberation.
Mm. ကစကလမတ်တော်ကြီးဘာရွေးကြီးဘာရွေးကြီးနဲ့အဲ့ဒီကိုဂျင်းနဲ့အဲ့ဒီစင်ဒါနောင်တာတဲ့နဲ့တယ်ရအဲ့ဂျမ်ဘာတာအဲ့ဒီကတိငါဆိုခေါ်ရပြင်ပြစမခေါ်လာရတော့စမ်စမ်တန်ခေါ်ရဲစဒီနေ့ရင်စဒီနေ့ကြွေးနဲ့ငါဆိုကြီးမာရဲစစံငါဆိုကြီးတဲ့ငါဆိုစုံခေါ်ရဲစဲဲတယ်ရင်နဲ့ဆိုဆိုလာစမ်ကံအထီးမာရဲကြွေးချင်းမရင်နဲ့ငါဆိုကြီးမာရဲစစီခေါ်တဲ့
So to explain this quote from the Bodhisattva's way of life, then when someone robs us and takes our valued possessions from us, generally we give rise to these powerful minds of attachments and aversion, and these minds separate us, emotionally separate us, or create a divide between us and this thief. So these are harmful minds because they're pushing us away from another sentient being, and furthermore, our mind is now dominated by these afflictions. And this leads us to the accumulation of non-virtue. And as we know, this non-virtue, when it ripens, it can ripen in the propelling karma of leading us to a rebirth in the lower realms. So if we respond in this habitual way and give rise to attachment and aversion, we are creating the causes for our own tremendous suffering in the future by ending up being born in the lower realms. So rather what we need to do is, with the mind of conscientiousness, we need to guard our mind against the arisal of attachment and aversion. So in other words, when something like this happens to us, we should generate conscientiousness and be aware of attachment or anger arising, and if it arises, to try and thwart it immediately, because in this way we will be protecting ourselves against the accumulation of non-virtue, and therefore we will be preventing the accumulation of further causes to be born in the lower realms.
Mm-hmm. 다다니 코와르게게
The second half of this verse refers to this this need that we have to be recognized by others, to be praised by others, to be shown respect by others. And so this mind that we have, or this need that we have to be treated in a particular way by others, this is comes from the basis of the afflicted mind of attachment. So this attachment that is now here being expressed by wanting to be praised by others and wanting to receive the respect and the esteem of others, this mind of attachment binds us tightly within samsara. So now we need, when we become aware of how this mind of attachment pervades us, so we need to turn our mind towards what our goal actually is, and that is to liberate all sentient beings from suffering and to lead all sentient beings across to the state of enlightenment themselves. So to do that, we ourselves need to abandon attachment, this attachment that binds us so tightly within samsara.
나니네 단이바디 당한저게 자월람 켜스 당한저야 자 자르고 지게 아니 안절에 녀다 따야 당한저야 지 동야다 안절어 지 강바제바다 라바제바다 되는게 자게 때 대지 구마 구마 잘라다 나 구마 that kuma diye so ko chala ku du ma do so ya la manzo le di chi go ma ra da ta cha ro chi cha cha ji ge so so le ya be chi mi nya ba pa la ya da ni ge te so 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 ya da go ji ya gang ba ji ya da so so ye no da so so cha ji ge je ba ina da ta sam na ga ni tang gu re ya se di ni ko ma shu ya da
de ni di di chi chen shen pa de
han ji ji shen ba li ge de
o
chi chi ni ba de li ge
okay Now we've been looking at this 12th practice of bodhisattvas, which is dealing with taking gain and loss onto the path. And now we come to the next verse, which is transforming enemies into the path. So here the reference is to people, so this term enemies is quite loaded, but it's people who harm us in some kind of way. So they could be all classified as enemies. So people who physically harm us or verbally mistreat us and the like. So they could all be included here in this very general term of enemies. So the next verse then discusses this.
Dala nyeba junsi me shindu nyeba Dala nyeba junsi me shindu Gata dagyo guho jena Jeje naang Nyeje wangi Nyeye dikwa nam Dala lenba jase lala yinse That's how you stick this one
I'm going to read the verse Even if someone tries to cut off your head When you haven't done the slightest thing wrong Out of compassion take all his misdeeds upon yourself This is the practice of bodhisattvas
Dala Neba Junsi Meshin Du Sech. Ne Bene Disigore. Bene Sosugi Notre Jeje. Sosu Notre Jeje. Notre Chimbora Jeje. Sosu Ya and Timra Tawine. Ne Konsawaya Marasan. Sosu Notre Jerwata. Notre Jene and Tim Puor Jadilla. Konsawaya Skyo Marwata.
Konakinati Lolitoka Notosu. Then it is Namin Kesum. So we have here the second line when you haven't done the slightest thing wrong. So sometimes we when we receive problems, it's because we have created the cause very clearly. We did something wrong, and now we receive the result from that. So in such an instance, we don't need to worry too much, because we now are experiencing the result of what we've done, and now that's finished.
That the name Masi, so you never give him Hevache. So you know to Guinea Meva in there, that Pashuki Migian, Sosolian, Jing Yedon Tayata, Sosolian, Gamba Chevada, Lava Chevada, the Nigger Tungana, Luyada, the Nigger Gamma, Yungures.
However, here, this is more referring to when we haven't apparently done anything, but we are getting maybe blamed for something or accused of something, or someone is physically harming us, and we haven't done anything to them. So that is more the situation that is being referred to here.
That's the same thing.
When we when we encounter difficulties like are being referred to here, difficulties where we are quite blameless, where we haven't necessarily instigated the kind of response from someone, then we tend to quite explode inside and become very angry, and we have this righteous anger or this justifiable anger. And so if we respond in this way, whilst the other person may be acting in a way that seems causeless or is contrary to the law and the like, by us responding in this way, with this justified thinking that our anger is justified and righteous and the like, then we are the ones suffering, because we're the ones now with this mind dominated by anger. We're the ones who won't be able to sleep that night, or we'll lose our appetite. We may argue with friends because we're so upset, etc. And beyond the suffering of that short term, we are accumulating powerful negative karmic imprints. Because in the state of this, justified self-righteous, that's the word, self-righteous anger, then we tend to, our mind is very strong, and therefore we're creating very powerful karmic seeds. And this will lead to rebirth in the lower realms. So not only are we suffering in the short term, but we're creating the causes to experience suffering in the future as well. We know within ourselves, when we are falsely accused of something, or we for no apparent reason, we are blamed for something, or we are accused, etc., this righteous anger arises within us, and we tend to respond in such a way, and we find it very easy to justify to people afterwards our response and how unfair everything was, etc. So if we ask ourselves the question, how would a bodhisattva respond? Would a bodhisattva respond in that way? Well, of course they wouldn't. So we see here in the verse, it's a bodhisattva, even if they were experiencing extreme suffering, such as having their limbs cut off and the like, they would respond in a very, very different way. Rather, they would turn their mind to the person who is harming them and be aware that they are only acting in such a way because their mind is dominated by the afflictions. They have no freedom. This person has no freedom, but is acting in this way under the control of the afflictions, most probably the mind of anger. And therefore, this harm doer, this other person, is actually an object of tremendous compassion, because if their mind is dominated right now by the afflictions, they are experiencing suffering right now. And moreover, they are creating the causes to experience tremendous suffering in their future lives as well. So in this way, the bodhisattva responds with a mind of patience and with a mind of compassion. And then they engage in the practice of taking and giving. And they will take on the suffering that this person is experiencing in their mind right now, as well as all their seeds for future suffering. And they'll take on also this mind of anger, and the bodhisattva will take all of this on, and in return they will give all their happiness and virtue, the seeds for future happiness, to this suffering person. And in that way they will engage in the practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others. So a bodhisattva here responds in a very different way from how we would. First and foremost, their mind stays calm and stays peaceful, and this is because of their practice of patience. And when this mind of patience remains dominant, then they are able to engage in the practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others. So therefore, even if they are experiencing extreme hardships, such as having their limbs amputated, their mind stays peaceful, they remain in control of their mind, and therefore they can engage in this practice of exchanging self for others, and thereby accumulate the seeds for enlightenment. And that's a very different way to respond. In fact, this skillful way of responding is a way where you take these harmful conditions or harmful causes, and you transform them into the path, and you transform them into favorable conditions, in other words, seeds for enlightenment. So you've taken unfavorable conditions and transformed them into favorable conditions, causes for enlightenment. So bodhisattvas then, they will practice in this way. Whenever they meet problems and difficulties, instead of this mind of anger arising, they will generate a mind of love or a mind of compassion. So if bodhisattvas act in this way, so should we. And first and foremost, we should engage in this practice of patience, so that our mind can stay calm and peaceful, and therefore we can, staying in charge of our mind, staying in control of our mind, we can engage skillfully in the situation. So a person who's skilled in the practice of patience will respond very differently to this enemy. They will see, whereas now we see someone who harms us as an enemy, someone to be maybe harmed in return, or someone to be avoided at the least. A bodhisattva wouldn't see that person, that same person acting in the same way, as an enemy, but would rather see them as someone who's tremendously kind. And the reason the bodhisattva would see this this person as being tremendously kind is because they understand that it's only through this person acting in this way that they have the opportunity now to engage in the practice of patience and therefore accumulate the causes for enlightenment. And actually, because of this, the way this person's acting and the harm that they are giving, either physically or verbally, the bodhisattva now is approaching enlightenment. The goal of enlightenment, the goal of being of benefit to sentient beings, has got that much closer because of this person in front of them. So a bodhisattva thinking like that is not going to be angry with this person, but rather grateful for this person, grateful towards this person, and then being aware of the suffering state that this person is in right now and will be in the future, the bodhisattva generates love and compassion for them. So here we have the bodhisattva whose mind is dominated by love and compassion and joy, and therefore is experiencing no mental suffering at all. So this is the way a bodhisattva responds, and would respond in this way, whether it was a thief stealing our valued possessions, or someone who is physically harming us or verbally abusing us. A bodhisattva would respond in this kind of way, first a mind of patience, and then followed by minds of love and compassion for the person. So this is how a bodhisattva practices, and we ourselves should train in practicing in the same way. So similar to the previous verse, if we hear this practice of a bodhisattva here, and we take in and we're inspired by it, and we too have the wish to respond in this way, then we need to take this inspiration that we feel now, and we need to take it onto our meditation cushion and have it as part of our regular meditation practice. Because it's at times when we're not experiencing these kinds of difficulties that we should be training in these minds. Because if we right now we meet a problem and someone falsely accuses us of something, or we're blamed for having something we didn't do, we will respond in the way we usually respond, in this self-righteous anger will arise, etc. So it's at the times when we are not encountering these problems, when things are going well, we must take that opportunity then, when things are calm and peaceful, and sit down and meditate and think to ourselves, so I'm likely to encounter this kind of problem or that kind of problem. When I encounter this problem, how do I usually respond? And now next time, how should I rather respond? And we train our mind by going through this process repeatedly, that when I meet this the situation that I'm likely to get into, then how should I respond? Let me rather respond by saying this, respond by thinking in this way, etc. And then through generating this mental habit, when in the future we do meet such a difficult situation, that mental habit is already formed. So instead of generating anger, the self-righteous anger, we will rather generate immediately the mind of patience, and we will then be able to generate the minds of love and compassion. And this is a skillful way to respond, and this is how we train in becoming that kind of practitioner, that kind of person. The commentary now presents a quote from Lama Atisha. When your body is harmed, you should know that is due to your past actions. So again, this quotation is quite clear. What it's referring to here is when we are harmed, whether it's someone either physically harming us or we encounter an illness or the like, we should not worry about this and think, oh, how could these things happen to me, etc. Because if we go through this this habitual way of thinking where we worry about things and think, how can these always happen to me, etc., this serves no benefit at all. Rather, we should see this problem, this difficulty, for what it is, and that is a ripening result of negative karma that we've previously accumulated. So now this negative karma has ripened, it's finished, and that's something to be happy about. And this ripening result, this suffering result, this came from negative activities I engaged in the past. So from this thinking, we should not only be quite relaxed about the negativity that we are experiencing, but we should also be reminded of the law of causality, that we need to turn away from negative behavior, and we should not accumulate such causes again. And furthermore, if this this negative encounter is with an enemy, then not generate any anger for the person, but rather patience, and through the mind of patience being present, generate love and compassion for this other person. And not only generate love and compassion for them, but being aware of the suffering that they're experiencing now and the causes they are creating for future suffering, we should offer all our virtue and the seeds of further happiness we offer to them, so as to overcome the suffering they're experiencing now, and so that they don't have to encounter further suffering in the future, but rather can meet the Dharma and the like. There's a quotation from the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. When due to the power of the afflictions, you are harmed or even killed, at that time, don't harm others in a similar way. Don't physically harm others in a similar way. The meaning then of this quotation from the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, is that when others harm us, either physically or verbally, through having a mind dominated by either attachments or anger, etc., then how should we respond to this? Well, the way we should respond is similar to what we've been hearing up to now. So when others harm us through a mind dominated by their afflictions, we should be aware that they are only acting in due to the presence of the afflictions, and so they're not acting with freedom. And therefore, because their mind is dominated by the afflictions, they are suffering right now. And not only are they suffering right now, but because they're acting on these afflictions, they are accumulating negative karma. And they're accumulating this negative karma by speaking abusively to us or harming us. And from this, they are now creating the seeds of future suffering, seeds that may well ripen in rebirth in the lower realms. Thinking like that, we'll generate love and compassion for them, knowing that they are suffering now, knowing that they will suffer in the future again. Minds of love and compassion will arise within us. Not wanting them to suffer then, we will practice taking on their suffering, taking on not only the afflictive minds that they are experiencing right now, but also taking on the negative karmic seeds that they are creating and have also created in the past, the seeds of their future suffering. And in response, we will give to them the happiness that we have right now in our mind, because we have love and compassion and patience present. So we offer that happiness to them so that their suffering mind can dissipate. And furthermore, the virtue that we are creating right now through this meditation independence on them, as well as the seeds of virtue we've accumulated in the past, all this we offer to them so that they can experience ultimate lasting happiness in the future too. And we dedicate all this virtue to them meeting the Dharma, entering the Dharma path and progressing towards enlightenment. So this is the way we should respond to difficulties. And this is the skillful way that bodhisattvas take all forms of suffering onto the path. So whether it's suffering from gain and loss, suffering from enemies and the like, bodhisattvas skillfully transform this onto the path and transform these negative conditions into wholesome conditions leading to the result of full enlightenment.
Mm.
마장들 난 Dini tole, that galley the cargo read water. I need to get to go, Mare. 제고도 선별 납치도 되고 그래. 나 지단 되는 사람한테 쉽게 지내셔.
So today we've, well, this afternoon session, we've looked at these two verses on transforming gain and loss onto the path and transforming enemies into the path. So what we've seen here is how bodhisattvas respond to difficulties. So when they have goods stolen from them, or people harm them physically or verbally, we've seen here how they think and they respond. And if we practice in the same way that they do, then we too will experience happiness instead of suffering, and we too will accumulate virtue instead of negative karma. So this is the way the bodhisattvas practice, and they don't experience problems in these kinds of situations. So when they have the, when they are physically harmed or verbally abused, or they have their valued possessions taken from them, they stay calm and peaceful, and their minds that generate are virtuous minds. So we ourselves, we know that these kinds of situations we will definitely encounter. We've encountered them in the past, and we encounter them regularly enough. So we need to engage in meditation now when things are going well for us, and we need to plan how skillfully we can respond when we do encounter these situations. And if we do this now again and again, then when those situations arise, we will have a new habit pattern. We will respond in a new way, and we will now generate love and compassion for the person who's giving us a hard time, etc. So how we heard before. So in this meditation, we should plan on how to respond in this difficult situation, as well as go through the meditation in terms of generating love, patience, love and compassion for the person. And once we've got this habit, we know we will respond skillfully in the future. So this is one type of meditation, and we've mentioned it a few times today. Then the second meditation we can do is to think about the situation in the world, and we can engage in this practice of giving and taking in terms of the situation in the world. So to take just one illustration, if we think about people who are experiencing war and conflict right now, then this comes from a place of anger. So certainly the soldiers involved, they will have anger dominant in their mind, and from this anger and the action that's coming from it, they are creating the causes for future suffering. And likewise, the people who are suffering in the war, the victims of the war, whether fellow soldiers or whether civilians, they are experiencing tremendous fear, as well as physical suffering, so mental anguish and physical fear. So here we should generate compassion for both sides involved, and not be partial, but generate compassion for both sides involved. And here we should meditate on taking away the fear that they are experiencing, taking away the anger that they are experiencing, so that to try and imagine that the anger in the mind of these soldiers, the harm givers, that is reduced, and those who are experiencing the harm, that they don't respond with anger, and they rather respond in a more skillful way. So we can imagine taking away the suffering that others are experiencing. So in this way, we're practicing the mind of compassion. And similarly, we generate the mind of love, knowing that all people involved in the conflict only want to experience happiness. They don't want to experience the fear and the anger that they're experiencing right now. So here we should generate love for them and give them all that they wish. And what they all want is they want peace, they want happiness, they want good conditions, they want their physical needs to be fulfilled, they need will have medical needs and the like. And they all want safety for themselves and their family, and they want peace for themselves and their family. So with this mind of love, we imagine giving that to them. So we take away their minds of anger, and we give to them minds of love and the like. So in this way, if we train in this regularly, we ourselves will be generating a tremendous amount of virtue. And if we do this whenever we have time, if it's once a day or once a week, then great benefit will come from this. And if we do it, if we're able to do it repeatedly, like every day, then through this doing it habitually, then this way of thinking will come about. In other words, we will train in this new way of thinking. We will train ourselves in this virtuous way of thinking. And from this, great power will come to these virtuous minds, because we will be generating them repeatedly, and they will be going from strength to strength to strength. And this then will become a very powerful practice. So it is something that's difficult to do, especially in a heartfelt way. But if we continue at this, then this familiarization with the practice will come about, and great benefit will come from this, because then these minds will become stable within us. And then next week we'll start with the next verse, the 14th practice of Bodhisattvas, and that's transforming abusive speech into the path. So we'll start from there next time. Katushuna Dugiduge?
Yeah.
So some questions. At the back. So if someone is responding to, is acting abusively to you, but you practice patience and calm, then through you responding in that way, possibly love and compassion arising in your mind, so you responding in that way, will that have an impact on the karma that is being accumulated by the other person, the person who's giving you a hard time? Yeah? Yeah. Deni mitiging hat so Kangel zum Potena pina tiktup gab yamena supo supo ne de tang yamena hat so chala chogere deni na so gentle temper nang sin nyamle in sena deni na so so bergom ninji jumper kegere didan rabo sena deni na so gewa dan rabo sagere de kolo dokome deni na so di jena deni
Chick Korashinji Kondo to Shuchun Rule. That Delang and Zuki that part two dinners to Palia, Dona Boda, the next two big number ten, Koyo Kondo to Shuchar to a gene, the new Duachi. Just the names of Nanzuki in the Civic Com, Civic in them, you turn out the Korashinji, the she Kondo Lansa Sour, the Shuchun Drella, Kondo Chair Drella, Gagri, Dibada, Dibacher Drella, Pinkies.
So yes, definitely, most probably it will have that impact. So how so? So first of all, by this person having an afflicted mind, they're accumulating negativity and then they're acting on this afflicted mind. They're stealing from you, beating you, or being verbally abusive. So they've accumulated this negative karma, so that is accumulated. However, by responding in a way that with patience and love and compassion dominant, then your mind is gentle, your speech to them will be gentle, your way of behavior will be gentle. And that, and they will hear this, they will see this. So that will have a calming effect, a pacifying effect on their mind. So they have already accumulated negative karma, but by you responding in that way, they will accumulate less from that point. Whereas if you were to respond by getting enraged and responding similarly, then they will get angrier and angrier and they will create more and more non-virtue. So by acting in this way, you do have an impact on the amount of negative karma or the strength of negative karma that they would accumulate.
So
again, I said one thing before which I forgot to say. So we said right at the beginning, if when someone's giving you a hard time like that, if you have a skillful way to bring an end to the situation so they don't engage in negative behavior, then that's good, then you should obviously do that. But if you don't, then practice in the way that's been described here. Then furthermore, Gimla gives an example now of if two dogs meet, and so the one is very aggressive and wants to challenge the other one, then if the other one is skillful and shows submission, and the dog will roll on his back and put its paws in the air and the like, then that usually or almost always is sufficient, and the situation ends, and they get up and they wag their tails and everyone's happy. So this is a skillful way to diffuse a potentially dangerous and violent situation. So again, this is, we have a moment, we have some time, so I want to tell a little story. When I was the disciplinarian in the monastery, then at one point I needed to walk around just to see what's happening and that everyone was where they're supposed to be and not where they're not supposed to be. And at one point we were sitting down with myself and my helpers, the disciplinarian had some helpers, and then a large dog approached us. So I got up to confront the dog, and I took my mala, and I showed myself to be like formidable. And the dog responded in a very gentle way. It rolled over onto its back, wagged its tail, and maybe shook its legs, and really showed itself in a very gentle way towards me. And then I was so embarrassed at what I had done. If people don't have time, please do. You're welcome to leave, but there are still some questions that you want to ask.
Just maybe Just in relation to transforming loss onto the path, I don't think it was mentioned, but I assume that if we see the thing, so that there is no existent owner and no existent object, by doing that, we also have that's another way of
Yes. So, in terms of transforming loss onto the path, then would another way to deal with this and to accumulate merit, to think about how the object and the person who stole from you,
us owning it, we're not actually owners as such.
Yes.
In the sense of being existent owners. So the thing itself is not a thing owned.
Sure. So then think about the emptiness of this relationship of owner and owned possession. Yeah? Okay. Then This is excellent. To think about that the object is not really established, and that the owner, this relationship of owner is not really established, nor is the person who is the owner is not really established. This is excellent. This is excellent. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.